So calling this meeting to order, if we could please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance. There's the flag in the back corner there.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, so I think it will call as good as always, maybe. So, public comment period for comments by the general public about items on this agenda. No discussion, action, or vote may be taken on this agenda item at this time. You'll be afforded the opportunity to speak on the individual items at the time they're presented. If you wish to speak to the council about items within its jurisdiction but not appearing on the agenda, please wait until the comments by the general public period listed at the end of this agenda. Comments are limited to 3 minutes. Please step up to the speaker's podium, which does not exist. Clearly state your name and address and spell your name, last name for the record. And of course, we can always, any member of the council can extend the length of a presentation if desired. Does anyone have a public comment regarding this that will not be addressed by a comment when each thing comes up? No? Okay. Approval of minutes for the April 26th meeting. Does anybody have anything on that? No? Yep, I guess, so we all approve. Approval of the agenda for today, and hopefully, I believe any items for positive action.
I make a motion to move.
To approve?
Yes.
To approve. Yeah, okay.
Second. Approved.
Approved. Unanimous.
Aye.
Thank God.
Aye.
Okay, informational items. Receive a report from the Las Vegas Valley Water District regarding the current well level status of the Blue Diamond water system and other related concerns.
Good evening, everybody. My name's Aaron. I'm with the Las Vegas Valley Water District. Well measurements were completed on May 22nd. The North Well static water level was 20.34 feet below land surface, and the South Well static water level was 20.11 feet below land surface. So even though there wasn't any precipitation recorded in April, we're still seeing about a half foot increase in the well levels since last month, and almost 3/4 foot increase from May of last year. So we're seeing some beneficial runoff from the wet winter, which is great. System operations, as far as the water system goes, system is in stable condition with no major leaks or breaks over the past month. Also, all the major work on the water line replacement project is now complete. Just a few small tasks for them to wrap up. And again, we appreciate the community's patience during that work. Conservation. Just for the community's information, as the weather warmed up, we almost immediately saw an increase in the fill cycles at the tank, which indicates that people are starting to water a lot. So while it's not something we're enforcing yet, we strongly encourage everyone to abstain from watering outdoors between 11 a.m. and 7 p.m. Every day, and with no watering on Sunday. We do notice a reduction on Sunday, so it appears you guys are all kind of following that already, so we appreciate that. Also, while we're still in the 90s and low hundreds, your landscape doesn't need to be watered 6 days per week, especially those plants on drip irrigation. Just try watering for about 4 or maybe 5 days each week, and save the 6 days a week for July and August when it gets really hot. The landscapes can take it, and it really helps out the water system. There are a number of watering tips for both grass, trees, and shrubs on the water district's website. Any questions?
Since you're done with it, does that mean that you won't be making any improvements to the water tanks?
As far as I know right now, we don't. That's part of the next phase, so. But I mean, there is plans to do a bigger sewage.
Okay.
I have a question for you. So you guys, since you're wrapping up, is the district, did the district QA bird on the installs of the meters?
I don't know.
I'm just wondering because one resident, the bird's install of that meter was suspect. I don't know if you've seen that picture.
Is it the one that's just down here by the park, kind of around the corner there?
Yeah. It had like, very odd. Three different materials, basically, into that. And I was just wondering if the district, since they contract with Berg, is there oversight? Like, do you guys come in and sign off on those installs?
There is an inspector that comes out. I don't know whether he's there on every single install.
Okay.
I don't know. I can find out for you in the next
advancement. So if the meters fail on the resident's side, that's the resident's fix, even though Berg is the one that did
the reach out to water. I mean, all I could kind of tell you to do is, I mean, if that's something that happens, like, you know, right after it's installed, I would say reach out to us.
Okay.
It would be kind of a case-by-case basis.
Okay. All right, thanks.
Okay. Any other questions for this? Thank you very much for the support. And now for a report from Metro regarding activity statistics during the past month. And do we have somebody from Metro here?
Metro showed up. I can give you a little bit on BLM side for law enforcement. Okay. So just last week, we had 3 vehicle birds from Red Springs up in Calico Basin. Mm. We ended up catching 3. They fled from us into the campground and fled on foot. Caught all 3. So today we've got 9 plus arrests for vehicle burglaries in the Red Rock area. So that's positive, but we're still working with our ASAs trying to get prosecution on those cases. So we worked hand in hand with Metro on that case. So that's probably the biggest law enforcement for the week.
Mm-hmm.
If you guys have any questions for me, and then Boris is here for the administrative side.
Thank you.
Thanks. Nice work.
Thanks. Thank you. And that will count for your BLM law enforcement report, I think.
Sure. Unless people have questions.
Okay. Thank you.
I got something. I was hoping Metro would be here. I live down on Colco off of 160. We've had a mailbox broken into. They tried to drill out the lock to get in there. I believe they were unsuccessful, but according to the mail delivery person, they said that a couple other boxes down below to the east of Wallapai were also broken into, so that's gone. And then just recently, 2 weeks later, a gentleman is in the process of building, and they were just pouring the concrete, and they wound up, thieves came in, and they wound up stealing rebar from his property. And the best thing is, or the punchline of that one is, they also stole the porta potty. The porta potty company said instead of charging them $2,000, they'd only charge them $1,500. Yeah. Who steals a porta potty? I don't know. So basically, I wanted to ask if Metro could have a greater presence in the area, just driving by. And the last thing I will add is, Monday, when I was going down to Rainbow to go food shop, and I stopped by the Metro substation, and I see on the window it goes, close for the day, and I'm thinking, substation. I figured they were open 24/7, but they weren't. So next time I'm down that way, I got to stop in and try to get them to patrol a little more up that way. But just be careful at this point in time. I'm not sure if anything else has gone on up by the convenience store or anything else, but it just seems to be going on at this point in time.
I'll pass it on to the residents.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Thank you.
And you'll let us know if you get any action on that.
The post office is in the process of fixing it. If it's not the lock, if it's not done by June 13th, we have to call them. They're not exactly fast on this. So now all the residents of those boxes have to come up to the Blue Diamond post office, which is fine. Because Don, I enjoy talking to Don, so it's fine. But that's it. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Bob. Okay, so I guess that concludes our law enforcement portion. So now we're up to receiving an administrative report from BLM regarding current and upcoming projects, updates on the Legacy Bike Trail, information about the Red Rock National Conservation Area, and other updates about public lands in the area.
Yeah,
Morris Pop here for the BLM. No updates on the Legacy Trail. Probably the biggest news that tomorrow for the rest of the summer, the reservation system is inactive. Right. No reservations required until September.
And why is that? Why is that happening?
Well, the reservation system is in place only usually from September through end of May because that's our busy season.
I see. So because it's boiling hot and nobody...
Well, you're just happy with anybody who shows up.
Noted.
Okay.
I'll tell my friends. All right. Thank you. And I guess since we already had a report from BLM law enforcement for second floor of informational items, that means you're up, Megan, for Clark County Administrative Services report.
All right. So I'll share a little bit on the Legacy Trail because we had representatives here this week from Federal Lands, Federal Lands and DJ&A, who are the designers for sections 2B, 3, and 4. And they were all here, and so a group of us went out with BLM, NDOT, me, and we hiked the trail to decide where it's going to go, what it's going to look like, what you know, trail crossings there are or wash crossings. So it was really great, and it was such a nice time because I know you guys have all seen the flowers. It was an awesome time to be hiking. So we spent 2 days hiking through there, and so they can get started on the design for the middle part of the trail. So they're moving ahead on that. So it's very exciting. It's all happening. Yeah.
Just curious, where is it going to go through the village? I've always been curious.
It's not going to go through the village, and they haven't designed that portion yet.
Okay.
That's part of 4, so it's this
is
the precursor.
It's going to be between here and the road.
I'm not sure. Mm-hmm. That's not designed yet. We haven't walked 4 yet. We did 2A, 2B, and 3 have all been walked. So that was pretty cool. What else I say? The parking area on 159, which I guess is called Skid Row. I am working with NDOT, and I have just got to connect with NDOT to find out what it's going to look like. It's going to be closed. Someone came up with a suggestion during this walk, because you get to talking a lot when you're hiking, to put riprap in there instead of having to put bollards or something, and I thought that was a really good idea. So we're going to be closing it off. We don't know what it's going to look like. The surveying activity.
Megan, is there a time schedule for that?
No. It's when we can connect and make it happen. Surveying, a couple people reached out to me about surveying, and thank goodness Barbara gave me the answer because I never would have found it. So they were surveying for a tree study, right? A survey of the trees in the community.
Dave Cook, who's a Blue Diamond surveyor, he told us that it was some volunteer work to survey the trees in the park. And it was by drone, and it didn't work out because it was too much tree
So, yeah, I'm glad you found the answer.
There's still a bunch of nails sticking up, so be careful. You know, and if you find them, pull them out.
Well, I would have been looking for a long time before I found that out, so thank you. The Le Top race was very successful. I wanted to get anybody's feedback on how did it affect the community. Was it a minor inconvenience? Was it terrible? Yeah.
The only thing that sucked for me was the traffic backing up at the gas station. They didn't have a way to parse out who was going to prom, who was trying to go to Red Rock, and who was trying to go to their house. So you kind of had to like go rogue to get to an officer and then be like, hey, what's the plan? And they were shocked. They were like, what do you mean? Like, I have to go home. Like, I have to get my kids. And they're like, they didn't tell you the road's closed? I'm like, yeah, I get the road's closed. You guys don't have like a pilot car? They were like,
They did.
That was news to NHB. They were like, nope, we don't have a way to get you home. So they drive me basically up Avery, and they were like, just don't hit any bicyclists.
Well, if
anybody
else
have any
input on
it?
Yeah.
Everybody was having a great
time.
If you needed to leave town, you got a high speed motorcycle escort. Yeah. Past those 200 cars that were waiting to go to Peru.
Yeah.
In the future, I live on Avery, which was closed on both ends. Mm-hmm. And like the only reason that I even knew anything about it was because of the Blue Diamond folks. Mm-hmm. You know, somebody posted it. So, like, if they could at least give us a heads up. Like, we got no information at all.
Right. So this is their first time. A lot of lessons learned. Usually when there's a race or something, the roads aren't closed. Yeah. You know, it's only one side. And so I usually don't look at the traffic plans because I'm not a traffic engineer. That's NDOT's job. And for some reason this time I looked at them and they were going to have traffic completely closed on 161 or 160. So I got in there. Lesson learned for me, I'm going to be looking at traffic plans really carefully in the future. I just never thought they would shut that down. It's never occurred to me. And I work with these types of things a lot because we have the Revel Marathon up in Mount Charleston every year, and it's all still flowing. So I never anticipated that. So I apologize for some of that outreach. I did not anticipate that the road was going to be closed like that. So I will accept some responsibility for that. I absolutely learned my lesson. We will be sending mailers to everyone next year. And hopefully we won't even need to. Hopefully it'll just be a nuisance that you get it in the mail because everything will have those things worked out. But it was successful. It was a successful event. And the Tour de France, I didn't know in France, it's 23 days long. So imagine if you're doing that for 23 days. But they sometimes start, well, they always start in another country, and usually it's Great Britain, and then they fly to France and do the race. Well, they are hoping and thinking that this was so successful and people enjoyed it so much that they will start the Tour de France here in the upcoming years. So it would be pretty exciting. And so I know it was inconvenience, I know it's frustrating. But it's pretty cool, and Commissioner Jones rode in it, and several people that I heard from that rode in it said it was amazing to ride through 159 without any cars, without any traffic. So it must have been a pretty cool experience. So thank you for the input, and yeah.
I just want to add a positive input. I think it's an amazing event. You know, obviously there's some inconvenience for it, but I think it was really amazing, and I think we should, you know, encourage coming here. So.
Great. Yeah, and they committed to 160 was the big concern because it's a highway. This is a highway too, but it's lots of traffic. And they committed to having it open by 12:15, and it was open by 12:14. So they kept their commitments. So I hope it'll only just keep getting better. So thank you for the input. And I think that's all I have. Any questions for me?
Megan, any update on that vacated van at the end of Colca? Is there anything going?
No.
No, nothing yet?
I'll tell you.
Okay, after the meeting.
I have questions, but I wonder for you, but I wonder if they should be held till the not on the agenda stuff at the end. Is that the right way to do it?
Well, is it stuff for me?
Well, they're for you as representative of...
Okay,
you
know, go ahead. This is my report. Go for it.
Okay, well, there's a sign on Memorial Road in Calico Basin that says not a residential area, mm-hmm. Not a recreational area, or residential area, not a recreation mm-hmm. area, but it's broken in half. Is that possible to get fixed?
I don't know. I see.
All right. I did have a question about a pothole on Outbound Calico Basin Road,
okay.
But you guys fixed it. And did
see,
it,
I anticipated it.
And did a beautiful job, I might add. What about the privatization issue on the sidewalks?
I don't know where we are in that. I'll have to get an update.
Okay.
I know it's in the process. I just need to talk to Survey and find out where they are in that.
Okay, I kind of lost my Calico Basin mailbox because I don't check it frequently enough. Apparently the post office rules are every 10 days, which is more often than I care to pick up junk mail, and which is all I really get. But I'm wondering that any of these notices that the county sends out, they're sent to the mailing address on the real estate in question?
Correct.
Yeah, okay.
Correct. So wherever you get your tax bills, that's where you would get anything from the county.
Okay, great. All right, thanks. All right, that was my question. Okay.
Well, that's easy.
I wanted to give you some softballs.
Thank you. I could use that today.
Okay. All right. So we're on to planning and zoning. And first thing we have is PA 2370008, Warren Taub Family Association, LLC, plan amendment to redesignate the existing land use category from outlying neighborhood ON to edge neighborhood EN on 2.3 acres, generally located on the north side of Serene Avenue, 850 feet west of Hualapai Way, alignment within Red Rock, and for possible action. And then I should probably incorporate that when we're reading in some tendency with item two, is that right? For, because it's the same, same party,
it's
right?
Yes, they're together.
So this is on ZC-23-0183, again, Warren Taub Family Association, LLC, zone change to reclassify 2.3 acres from an RU rural open land zone to an RA residential agricultural zone for future residential development. Generally located on the north side of Serene Avenue, 850 feet west of Hualapai Way, alignment within Red Rock. A description on file. So we have someone to present on this.
Let me, Eric, before you start real quick, just let me, so it used to be, there was a change, and I don't know, I don't think we discussed it here as a policy change at the county, that we don't do non-conforming zone changes anymore. We now do, and we got in line with other jurisdictions, that we do plan amendments. They ask for a plan amendment, and then they're able to ask for the zone change once the plan amendment is done, and so they're coming through together. So that's why this is just a little, this is our first one coming through this way. So just
okay. Okay. So my name is Robin. I live on the property with my parents here, Victor and Sheila, and we are off of Blue Diamond and Hualapai on Serene, and so it looks kind of like this. And we, I have one neighbor that actually has an existing house. All the rest of the plots are empty, but they're all sort of same size, 2.3 in sort of a rectangle shape. So what we propose, the reason why we're doing it, is that this is my daughter and her husband, and they want to build a home. The idea for us is sort of multi-generational living. I'm there with my parents. I also have a disabled daughter that lives with me. My daughter wants to build a home, and so we can all kind of take care of each other as the years go on. So it will just be a residential home. It would never be an Airbnb. The idea is to keep it in the family forever and never be sold. So we would make, so I don't know if you can see this, but we would make lot one is our lot right now, and we would kind of divide it sort of in half and make a flagship lot, so they would sort of pass by through. We have a long driveway that goes in the back. We would continue that on, and then their home would be in the back. So that's the point of our...
This is not there.
I'm the grandma.
Yeah.
And their house is
there. I would just like to tell a small story about why this is happening, because you might be interested. For 53 years, Victor and I have had a dream of living in community with our family. It couldn't happen until just now when we moved here and our daughter and granddaughter found this lot. It's always been a dream. They wanted to take care of us in our old age. We wanted to live with grandchildren and now great-grandchildren. It has taken all these years for this dream to come true, and so that's why Sarah's going to be building on our on the next half of our property. And we were sharing resources, we're sharing all kinds of ecologically solid situation for the families to live together and look after the babies and the new children, and that's why we're building this and why it means so much to us to have this one live next door. And so you might want to have that history of why we're doing this. It's a very long history of desire to live with family.
So that's us.
And we'd be happy to answer any questions.
Yeah. Any questions?
I got one.
Yes.
Glenn Barrett, 21 Cerrito. So is this south of 160 or north of it?
South.
South.
Yes.
So Blue Diamond Road is down in here somewhere.
So you go Blue Diamond to Hualakai?
Coming from here, you would turn right. And then you would turn right on Serene.
Go on, it's in between. It's so in between.
There's a map that might be.
Yes, I can see that across the way.
I see it from our house.
If you're standing there, you can see my house and then and my one neighbor that actually has a house there.
This is their spot right here.
From our neighbor's house to Serene to Hualakai.
And I did get approval from everybody that owns on our street, except one person I never heard of. I haven't heard from, but I did get approval from all the other people that own the lands, and nobody came to our neighborhood meeting that we had to hold twice. Because they said I didn't do it right the first time, or they were doing this change like she talked about, they were changing things. So I did two neighborhood meetings, and nobody came. Except us. We were there. So Shauna was there. She
any other questions? Be happy to answer anything.
I'll point out that in both of these, staff did approve, recommends approval, basically. Anybody else have comments, questions?
Megan, wouldn't it just be easier for them to build a guest house?
They could, but then they'd be limited on size. There'd be a lot of limitations.
So let's just refresh my memory. Isn't CD5 doesn't have limitations? Because we had that thing in Calico Basin, and there was no limitations
you
on the size.
You still do have limitations, just not as small.
Because they're in a CD5. Mm-hmm. So what are the limitations? I mean, maybe it would just be easier for them to just build a guest house.
Well, the thing about that, I can speak to that a little bit too, is that she would like to make sure she owns her house, and if we build a guest house on our property, we'd have to finance it, and we couldn't finance it, right? So that's why they want to all be able to finance their own home.
And that makes sense.
Right. They did say we could do a casita, but there's a lot of limitations. You can't have a kitchen, or you can't have an oven.
You can. I'm actually putting an accessory apartment on my property right now for my mom. So yeah. I'm going through this process.
Because we're in CD5, and CD5 is different. So can you refresh your memory
and
on
I
how
don't,
CD5 is?
I don't have it in front of me. Mm-hmm. But in CD5, I think it's 1,500 square feet. You can go up to 1,500 square feet.
But you can still have a kitchen and a full house and everything.
Yeah.
No other compromises other than the size.
But it's not separate ownership. It's, you know, if you wanted to build equity or something, you wouldn't be doing that. So that would be a different way you could go about it.
Mm-hmm. And this is not in the overlay, correct?
It's in the overlay, yeah.
It is.
No, I don't think it is.
I don't think it is.
I'm seeing it's not in the overlay.
No.
Yeah. It's in section 24, which is one of the 8 sections which has an exception to density and intensity.
Okay.
So 13, doesn't 14, the overlay 15, say 16, 2 acre minimum lot? 22, 23,
24.
Yes, and that's why they're asking for the zone change, because they couldn't subdivide with the current zoning. That's why they're asking for the zone change.
But didn't the overlay say you couldn't split it? That it had to be a 2-acre lot, so we didn't get big.
No,
lot.
RU does, yeah.
RU does.
Yeah.
But RE you can, if it's already been designated.
I believe that's correct, yeah.
So if it's in the overlay, and it has to be a 2-acre minimum, so is it going against the overlay then?
The overlay does not determine zoning and setbacks. It determines the design. It's a design overlay. But and just so you guys don't think I'm completely crazy, my grandmother passed away this morning. So
if it's zoned RU, it's a 2-acre minimum. We're R1
so
here in Blue Diamond.
I don't think there is a lot size for 80,000 square feet. Are you?
It says you can't increase the density.
But essentially what they're asking is to change it, and then your plan is to do a parcel map, and it'll be two separate parcels.
Two separate ones.
So you'll have 2 1-acre pieces under RA zoning. Would be my, that's
right,
was my
right.
interpretation of this.
And
so the next step would be a parceling the project.
Right, right.
To Rob's point,
That section is exempt from the intensity and density restrictions of the Red Rock overlay.
You're right.
Right.
That's why, yes.
Right. 24.
Other places wouldn't be able to do that. Correct.
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 Okay.
Okay, yes. I was like, why is this okay? Yes. That's the only reason it's okay.
Has it said a land use is, since it was approved by staff, is that
staff recommended approval?
Staff recommended approval. So for that section or that area, then everything basically would be treated as that edge neighborhood designation?
No. And this is where we talk about precedent a lot.
That's where people
people throw that word around a lot. And this is, every land use application stands on its own. It's on its own merits because every piece of property is different. There's no two that are exactly alike. There's no two situations that are exactly alike. So this one, just because this one was approved, doesn't mean the one next door would be approved for the same request. They could argue that. They could say that it should be because it's next door, but they would have to prove their own merits.
So the reason that it was what it is now, which is outlying, was what? What was the reasoning for that?
The outline is the overall land use plan. And so, yes, the land use plan says in this area, we generally want rural development that's 2 acres in size.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why they have to come in and ask for a change saying, hey, we want to have it smaller, but here's why it's still rural in nature, you know, to prove that it's not going to, they're not asking for R3 where they're going to have, you know, 15 units per acre, right. 8 units per acre. So that's the reason they're here today, and that's why each thing is on a case-by-case basis.
Okay.
And I will say their home would be behind my home, so even, it doesn't really change the street what it looks like, because they're going to be behind, we're not side-by-side.
Yeah, I could see the density right next to you on the other side of Hualapai is, it's a completely different flavor, right? It's not rural at all.
Yeah. Every time I leave and come back, another home has been dropped down.
Yeah.
Yeah,
for sure.
I think R2, R1 zoning, 200 feet away.
So for the rear home, the access is still from Serena?
It will be. So we would make our lot kind of a flagship lot. So we have basically, the way our house is, we have a garage in the back. So we have a long driveway going down the side of our home. So I'm envisioning, with approval of design and architect plans, that we'll just continue that on. And they have access to their home that way.
Mm-hmm. But you have, there's an easement for Aletta.
I would have right behind it.
I know what
for
they
one,
said.
I mean, one day down the road.
Yeah,
I mean,
but it's not a complete street, and because we thought that would be awesome. But I don't know if we'll be able to do that. And I think that would have to be like at our expense to bulldoze it, and, you know, and so I don't know if that.
Okay. Yeah.
So that easement's currently completely undeveloped. Yeah.
Correct. It's completely undeveloped.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They could vacate.
Is Serena dirt road there?
It is a dirt road.
It is, yeah. Here's a picture of it.
Yeah.
Megan, I got a question.
This is their house right here.
In the staff report, Greg, who did it, I forgot his last name here, but he says that the increase in density allowed by the EN designation is compatible with the surrounding area as denser uses are located approximately 850 feet to the east. Mm-hmm. So, here's my problem with that statement. That is an enterprise. The border is the middle of Hualapai. To the east, enterprise. To the west, Red Rock Township. So, why even put that in there?
Because it's the truth. I mean, just because it's a different township, when you're driving, there's no sign that says you're leaving Enterprise and going into Red Rock.
I know, but
nobody.
But
I don't think
rules.
Your average person would ever know that.
Different
so the
rules
existing
and regulations.
Condition, yeah, but the right. existing condition is there are denser properties across the street. That's not an inaccurate statement. It's true.
Technically, yeah. It
not
is
technically.
No.
They are denser properties.
It is accurate, but to put that, if you put in that it's a different zoning there, and then to follow up, he puts in there, there's to the northwest, and so I was talking to him the other day, and he goes, it's on Colker Road. I go, that's where I live. And the, my problem with that too is that was where I live, Colker Road, everything was subdivided before the Red Rock overlay.
Right, but it doesn't matter when it was done. It exists. There are denser houses next door.
Right.
But, and one thing I think probably where he's going with that is, as far as planning goes, when there are projects proposed that are more dense next to R&Ps, you know, like an enterprise, one of the things that's always asked for is like buffering, so that you would have larger lots next, so you don't have little tiny lots right next to the big lots. Put some bigger lots and then go smaller. And so I think that's probably the mindset he was in there, where this is a gradual, you know, from the more dense to the bigger lots.
So you're suggesting as we approach Hualapai there, there's likely to be more approvals to subdivide or...
No, I didn't say that at all. Not even in the realm of anything. I'm saying that he's saying they think it's okay, and he's saying why he thinks it's okay. Mm-hmm. And he thinks it's okay because there's more density to the east. And so this isn't nearly as dense as that. So, and it won't, he says it will not adversely impact the surrounding area. That's his argument for why it's acceptable.
So they didn't say, the county didn't say whether they'd received any cards back, whether approvals or disapprovals. Did they have any good ideas?
Well, she's got the approval letters.
She has the approval. Everybody on my street, yeah, had the neighborhood meeting that we held, maybe it was 2 months ago or so. I mean, I didn't hear anything from it. No one said anything, nobody came, so.
And I did look at the letters, and they're all in the file. Okay. All the neighboring letters.
Yeah, I did too. And there weren't any that were against it either. So their neighbors are pretty much in favor of it. So we support them.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll say that my only real consideration is, you know, with all of the new zoning thing that they're trying to pull off with the. You know, the revised Title 30 stuff that of course there tends to be this trend towards density, in my opinion, on that, and we've talked about that before. But on the other hand, as I've stated many times, I'm generally in favor of people getting to use their property the way they want, and I only mention that in passing, as if I'm doing due diligence or something, but realistically, I don't see any issues with it. Does anyone else have comments on this? Are we ready to?
I think that could be dangerous. What you say, that people can do what they want, but in this case, let me just finish. In this case, I thought I'd read somewhere, Megan, correct me if I'm wrong, that is it in the new draft that they still consider anything over half acre. Rural? Did I see that in there, or did they take that out?
That is a very tough question, because rural is used in multiple different ways.
Yeah.
And so, if you ask me, rural is anything that is not enterprise. You know,
right.
Anything in Red Rock, in the Red Rock CAC, is rural. I don't think it's a size necessarily. I think it's a location. So I would have to look at the actual wording, because I think in the new code they're trying to use urban versus rural.
Right,
I think most
right.
people in R&Ps would say that they are not living in an urban area. So that's one of the comments we had. So rural, you can use it a couple different ways.
Okay.
Yeah. I wouldn't pin anything on the word rural.
Well, before we go on and everybody else has a say,
I just have a quick question.
Oh, go ahead.
Jeannie Prouty, 13299 Highway 160. When you mentioned that denser property, is that like an old property that's been there like forever? Was it grandfathered into the system or what?
The ones to the east are those new houses on Hualapai, you know, on the east side of Hualapai.
Yeah,
no.
And then the other one he refers to are the ones on Colker Road that were subdivided before the overlay.
Have you seen this diagram?
No, I have not.
If you've driven on Blue Diamond, you know exactly where the dividing line is.
About this as where we're going, and then these are basically high density houses here. So that's
what
it's like, actually a development.
That would, I don't know if you can see it from there, but the pink highlighted lot is theirs, and then there's all the R1 and R2 development.
If you feel like coming forward and looking at it, please do. And Bob, I just want to address, I talked about my general propensity, right. But I believe that each property, just as Nate was saying, each property is unique and you want to look at the situation. So my orientation is
that's the basis. Right. I understand. Mm-hmm. Well, I'd like to make a motion, and everybody can decide on that. I'd like to make a motion to approve.
Do you want that for both applications?
Yes, both applications, and per staff recommendations, Public Works, Fire Prevention, who had no comment, so, and then Water Reclamation District, so, along those lines, so, that's my recommendation, so I leave it to everybody else.
So, we
approve.
We're unanimous, I guess.
On both?
Mm-hmm. Yes. For me, anyway, for you guys,
yeah. Yeah, honestly, I didn't have a lot of neighbors complaining.
You had approval to submit.
No, it doesn't mean we vacate those two, I would guess, too.
Is that not vacated yet?
No.
We have to make them vacate that.
We have to vacate this parcel map.
But they're going to make it paid before now.
Good luck with the rest of the project.
No, they will. Yeah. No, I know.
Okay, so now we're on to 7, general business. Randy Black will share information about his recent purchase of the UPRR co-op water line and his plans for the future of the line for discussion only. Are you Randy?
Yeah. Hey, everybody. Thanks for having me. I guess I can stand over here where you can all see. Lifelong Las Vegan, had a lot of people call me and go, hey, we heard you bought this co-op, what are you doing? Some of it was panic, some of it was relief because this system is 110 years old and has more holes than a 10-pound block of Swiss cheese. Our intent is to develop that water utility, use the water that it provides, and kind of redo all of the infrastructure so that we can not have so much waste on it. We're still trying to identify where the line is. As you can imagine, 110-year-old line. The easement is one place, the line is in another. I don't know how familiar you all are, but it's the spring box over here in the park that has the water running out of it. And then the ductile iron 6-inch line that the Union Pacific Railroad put in back in the early 1900s runs all the way down, kind of along the alignment of Blue Diamond, and goes to Arden by the railroad tracks at Jones. It doesn't appear to be too feasible to develop the line all the way back down to Arden where it was originally placed and utilized to that water tower that's there. It does service customers down to Kulka, is about where the last customer is. Again, as far as we can tell, there's not great records at all. We're having to manually pothole, physically locate the line. We've had Bloodhound Services, which is the same group that's doing all the work internally for the water district for the mains and infrastructure that's being replaced in the town now, go out and locate the lines. There's no meters. We don't know how much flows out of it. The only thing we know is there's an easement, there's a line, there's been deficiencies with the health district for the 23 customers for a long time running that have been neglected. We've dove right into those to try and repair and replace what we can. We are dealing with the state for some public funds to replace the infrastructure that's in there, because the biggest problem is this is an old iron pipe that literally leaks water everywhere. There's not a valve at the spring box that's functional. We don't have a way to tell what that spring is capable of producing. We have a little bit of well logs through the state of what it has produced. We know it's ballpark about 20 gallons per acre now. The water rights that come with the co-op allow it to go to about 40. That doesn't seem to be any issue, but we're not here to do anything for the next short period of time other than do our fact finding, locate the line, figure out the capacities, who is using it, who is not, who is supposed to be using it, who's maybe not supposed to. And work with the state to get the deficiencies repaired and then see what we can do to kind of bring that thing up to standard so it's not so wasteful and can conserve the asset and the resource that it is. So I'll open it up to a lot of questions, but give me a little leeway here in that we're walking into a 110-year-old issue that the last people who owned it probably did the best they could, but they didn't do a great job of providing us a lot of documentation and records of it. So it's still pretty much a fact-finding exercise for us at this point.
What's your long-term plan?
Long-term is to turn it into a fully functional water utility that has users like everybody who's in Blue Diamond and have it as a utility.
Do you have some potential new customers in mind?
We don't know actually how much it uses, but yeah, there's room for more customers. Potentially some of the unfilled lots that are in Blue Diamond is one option, or all the way down to Arden is the other. So again, we don't know, and I'm not trying to be a politician and not answer a question with other questions. We just don't know at this point. I can tell you there's 70.33 acre feet that is that water right from the state from early 70s.
What is it?
And it's a surface water right out of the spring box. And there's a line that's kind of above ground in a lot of places, leaks. And we found the leaks because there's the desert willows over
exactly.
there.
Exactly.
So.
Sure. Sheila Billings, the one Lawson Street. So your purpose in doing this is because your burning desire is to be a private water utility?
I have a lot of burning desires. Is that where we're going on this?
A lot of burning. Okay. Is that why you're doing it? I mean, you want to...
Yeah, I don't mind having a water utility company in the desert. Seems like a pretty economically viable, sound business.
So you're not planning on developing something. You're just planning on...
Oh, no, we're developers.
Okay.
Are you
going to
use it for the RV park?
We may use it for the RV park, 100%.
Yeah. This is Glenn Barrett from 21 Cerrito. So that water, I wouldn't suggest anybody drink it because it's not palatable. So how are you going to make it drinkable?
We're under the guises of the health district and the state. We have I don't know what you call it, but we've actually taken the water samples. We have to do it, I believe, every month, right? Sealed, delivered, there's a whole protocol for it, and they run the tests on it, and that's mighty pure water. So I don't know where your palatable comment's coming from, but that's not what we found. I'd be happy to go investigate more. In fact, there isn't any real contaminants in that water. We own another public system that's down south towards Sloan and the south end of the valley that's in the 212 basin, which is a different basin than here, has a high level of arsenic and some metals in it
that
we have to treat. So this water is actually pretty pure. There's some organics and whatnot that are in there because that spring box hasn't been taken care of or flushed for 50 years. We actually have to pollute it, in my opinion, by chlorinating it because of health district standards. So there's a chlorine pump in there. If you're next to the spring box, you can hear the clicking sound. That's the chlorinator that's going through.
There's chlorine in that water now?
Heard that thing.
For state.
There's chlorine in there now?
Yep.
Wasn't there like a tadpole or something that was like special to that water?
Oh. Maybe. like the Moapidase kind of a deal or something?
Well, they have researchers that come down there.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
there
no,
were snails.
The chlorination goes into the pipe.
After.
It's not
after
separate.
It's not stream.
We're not chlorinating, as far as I can tell. And again, we're still kind of trying to figure out what we've inherited. And we did sign up for it. So it's a burning desire or an affliction. We're in the middle of it. It goes into the pipe that services the 23 customers downstream.
So how does what you're doing affect us?
I don't know.
The park water, like how will it affect?
Park water still goes. There's a right to, we fully intend on keeping the park watered with those water rights that come out of there. We're still trying to figure out what that allocation is. And it looks like it's a little more of an overflow. And then you can see the old vault that if this is the spring box and then you come down maybe 20 or 30 feet, there's an old vault there with the metal doors that pull up like this.
Yeah.
That looks like it's been bypassed. So...
So are you suggesting, I'm sorry, I'm David.
Hi, David.
19 on that grade. Brady.
Nice to see you.
Are you suggesting that the water is not going to change in the park? And through the wetlands that go through the park and then down?
Not any more than it. We're going to run it as it happens. The thing, I won't say only, so again, can't take me too literally because I don't know what I'm saying to a full degree. It is our intent to keep it exactly as it is, but replace the infrastructure that is inadequate, that's being wasteful, that is the holy pipe and the water that's getting wasted out of there.
Okay, that is...
There's no pump that goes on it, so it won't be extracting water out. And the treatment that we're required to do from the health district is the chlorinator.
And does that happen below the park?
It happens in the pipe. So there's...
I don't know the mechanical piece. Across the street, yep. That has chlorine in it now.
I do not believe so, no.
So where, I'm just curious, where...
The pipe that services to... So in that spring box, there's a...
Okay, anyway, go ahead.
The spring box, it's basically an artesian well. Okay, but other than a natural artesian well, you dig it out, you put your rock types in there, that's your filtration system, and it just comes out of the ground and overflows. It's risen a lot with our snowpack and the water level it's raising from, thank God, finally some precip this year. But the chlorinator attaches to the pipe that is transmitting that water downstream towards Arden. And then the free-flowing water that's coming out just runs out of that same spring box, but not in the collection pipe. So it should not be chlorinated.
Okay, so so that's interesting that you said should not. I mean, can you?
I don't believe it is.
No, that's fair. But can you find out for us? And
for
that's
sure.
A big deal.
Absolutely.
Our dogs, my dog drinks out of that water.
Yeah.
I can tell you
the line goes into the pipe and does not chlorinate the spring box. But physically, it looks like that's what it's doing. Okay.
But if you could verify that, that would be great. And then if you could also...
Do I have a sign-in sheet with your addresses so I can reply to you individually?
I'll make sure. Yeah, I'll make sure. If you could also... I think this, some of the concern for those of us who live here is the beauty of the park includes the stream.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not just us. It's the wildlife here. The donkeys use it. The coyotes use it. The foxes. Everything. And
you know, I'm a lifelong resident. I've been coming out here since I was...
Okay.
Great grandbaby size.
So that's awesome. So if you can like guarantee to us, I think a lot of us want to hear.
I can't guarantee Mother Nature.
No,
I'm not damming up the spring box and stopping the flow of water through the park. That will continue as long as the water table acts like it has for the last 100 years on that spring box. There was a geographic. I'll get to you next. There was a seismic event that did something to the water table in here. Somebody probably knows more than me in this room, where that stopped flowing for about 3 days. In one of these little ancillary earthquakes that we've had around the valley, because we still have fault lines and fissures. No, it's probably 96-ish. Don't quote me on the date. And it took a while, and then it kept flowing. So.
Okay. So I mean, I think, again, I just want to repeat. Like, I think that is really, really important. Those two things.
Yep.
The chlorine going into the park water. Nobody wants that.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then which you're saying that you don't believe, and it sounds like the mechanism is such it goes in the pipe
correct.
And then out towards you.
Correct.
And that we don't lose our water and the beauty of a park, which is nourishing our trees, nourishing our animals, our kids play in the park. So it's something that we all enjoy. That's going to be important, I think, for all of us
sure.
to hear from you.
Part of the beauty of Blue Diamond.
Yeah.
For
okay.
sure. Has been forever.
But I don't think that's his, I don't think he can promise you that. I think that it's a water right thing, right? And I don't know what water right Blue Diamond has for right now, but he's
it's
got
very
like
vague.
70 acre feet. And if there's not even 70 acre feet coming out of the spring, I don't know, maybe if he's got a senior right, he can take all that water.
That is a correct statement, if those theories are correct. But it's vague in the, like Megan says, it's vague. There's some language in there.
There's no number to it.
There's no number to it.
To what is required to go to the park from that water right.
So back in 1930, when the UP got the water right, there was a protestation, and in that protest, they said that the park should be served first, and the state water engineer agreed, and the protest was granted to the applicant. But they so the first water has to go to serve the park.
by this, according to this document.
If that document governs everything,
right.
Okay.
And so there does always have to be the first water to go to the park. So what has to be determined is how much of that water is needed to preserve the park, because that's the first water right on the line. Second of all, there is a meter on the line. I don't, is it that,
it's not functional.
Yeah, John Guillory has been giving us numbers for over 10 years. And yeah, I, as a matter of fact,
is it the one that's down here at the
by the well,
where your well? Okay, the well. So the issue with that is there's a meter there, but we don't. It's not being metered at the source to get an accurate reading. So there's a lot. There's a bunch of loss because it,
yes,
runs over four or five houses through, under the houses through town, and has a lot of permeations and whatnot in that pipe. So we don't know what's coming out of the spring box,
right,
versus what's making it to that meter.
Right. So referencing that, and I agree with you, there's a great deal of loss, and that's a big problem. And I think the whole entire line needs to be replaced by someone who's taking it on. But the average amount of water that was going through that meter was 34 acre feet. So if you put more draw on that,
you can't.
That's
put,
annual.
Let me dispel another myth.
Right.
We can't draw.
Well, you
on
can
the
open.
Water.
You can open more fixtures that
you
pull
could take
water
coming,
out.
You could take everything that's coming out of that well, and send it downstream. And
right,
your numbers are about the same as what we understand at this point. 34 acre feet is roughly half of the 70.
Right.
And it's about 20 gallons versus 40 a minute. So it's, that's how that math kind of correlates to one another.
So second of all, because it's not a groundwater, you can't change the point of diversion. The only thing
can't change point of diversion.
Correct.
You can't chase it.
Right. So when that line was granted to UP, there was a place of use maps that were created. I don't know if your engineer looked at these at all,
mm-hmm,
but there's only one place that can be used in Blue Diamond, and that's in the park. So if you're thinking of selling it to other people in Blue Diamond, you can't.
Selling what?
If you're thinking of providing water to other people in Blue Diamond.
Yes. Keep it down a little bit.
Okay. I'm just saying, if you are, it's not in the place of use. The only place of use in Blue Diamond is the park.
I'm not a water rights,
yeah,
attorney,
but I'm just telling
you. Apparently know more than me, but
well, yeah, I've been
we're
going to
put the smartest people on it that,
yeah,
can tell us what we can do and what we can't.
Yeah,
they've been studying it. So
well, I'm happy to send these home with you.
Yeah, perfect.
Also, your RV park is not a place of use for the line, so you can't use the water for your RV park.
Okay, glad that's your perspective. We'll take
well,
it into
that,
consideration.
I mean,
it's right here in the application for the water rights.
Okay. Listen, if you guys are here to attack, I'll take
no,
it. I'm not telling you.
We're here to take information, back, and we'll go verify.
Let me jump in real quick. Yeah. We segued into talking about the pipes a little bit. And you had mentioned that your intention is to kind of bring it over
the
Trent Billingsley, one last. So you had said that your intention was to bring everything up the stump, and then you acknowledged that a lot of these, you know, this 110-year-old cast iron pipe is running underneath houses in town.
Mm-hmm.
Is it your intention then to replace the water line all the way up to the park and take it down with fresh lines or with newer lines?
We've had a group that works out of Phoenix look at it to sleeve it. We've had a couple different engineering firms that look at alternate routes. I mean, we're taking all, anybody's got any ideas, we'll go bird dog it and investigate it.
Okay, so you haven't come to any conclusion on what you're doing?
No, we're still trying to understand. It doesn't look too feasible to sleeve the line because it doesn't solve the problem where the easement is going under structures.
Right.
We still have to kind of amend the easement, have it rerouted around different structures and try to put it in a public right-of-way.
Yeah.
So that it's in the streets and doesn't affect those property owners that it affects now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, yeah, we're looking at all those.
Mr. Black, you're here for information, and I will give you something from the lower Cottonwood Spring. that it says here that back in from 79, a gentleman went into the park to check the water, and they went in to check the chlorination at the spring. So that means that the chlorination at that point in time was at the spring.
Maybe.
This is from 1979. Okay. It's not maybe. It's Department of Conservation and Natural Resources. I don't think they make things up.
It may have been updated.
You're assuming that you're trying to identify somebody's wordsmithing, and you don't know what they mean when it says at the spring. It's at the spring right now, isn't it? But so let's not debate semantics and theory of someone else's intent.
And then the other thing was basically what Pauline was saying. Permit 29625 says that water will be provided for the small meadow area and trees within the community of Blue Diamond. And that was from the Division of Water Resources from 1979. So unless things have changed.
Good job.
But that was there originally. So, yeah, yep. From there to now.
I can tell you the health district makes us chlorinate it right now.
Yeah.
So. But the injector is into the pipe, not into the spring where free flowing water that's coming out for the dogs, et cetera.
And then this water that's being released through the park and whatnot, that's being released to the surface and outside. It's not like being delivered and staying in the pipe. It's going outside into the sunlight and
stuff. There's a collection pipe, and then there's an overflow that's in that spring box house that is what's free-flowing.
You know, right, I get that where you're chlorinating it. Maybe I'm not understanding, but like when it gets to Blue Diamond and it's being used for the park, it's being used to surface water the plants and
basically surface water. I'd say that's a fair.
So once it hits the air and the sunlight, it's got the usual dissipation and sunlight effects on chlorine.
There's no chlorine in that water. Huh? There's no chlorine in that water.
You're saying you're chlorinating?
No, they're chlorinating downstream.
Yeah.
So the pipe is here, the well is here, it's going downstream.
I see.
What's coming out to the park is not chlorinated.
Oh, it's not coming
out.
Not chlorinated.
What we should do is a big field day one day. We'll open up the spring box and look at it. I was just going to suggest. I don't have any issue with that.
I'm down for that.
There's some health district issues with, you know, we got to have.
I saw a guy once open that thing up, and I went over because I'm just naturally curious, and the guy gave me the worst look in the world. Like, and you know, basically stared me down and made me leave.
I think it's amazing, so I think everybody should see this.
So I was just going to suggest, I almost interrupted, like you should, if you don't mind.
Let me clear with Nate at the health district and see what our protocol is, and I don't have any issues there, but you should see it. It's in your town.
Yeah, I think we'd understand.
And it's awesome.
Sorry, I just want to understand a little bit more about, like, who owned this? What's the co-op? Why did you get to buy out the whole co-op? Like, Blue Diamond doesn't own any of that. I just, like, don't really understand the paperwork.
I'll tell
that
you. Co-op.
Yeah, exactly. How's that a co-op?
That's just the structure. You could make a co-op. She could make a co-op. We could all make a co-op. That's nothing special. It's kind of like an LLC, a corporation, a C-Corp.
So maybe just explain the history, I think, is what they want to
say. So I'll tell you, to the best of my knowledge, what it is it started as the Union Pacific Railroad got a grant to service the steam trains on the Salt Lake City to L.A. line. That is the line that's still running through Arden, which is Jones and the Blue Diamond Overpass right there. To the south of that is what we call Arden. And then it went through a couple iterations. It used to be 180 acre feet, and then somewhere around the 70s, there was some litigation over usage. I think this is where the park stuff came from. They gave back a bunch to the state, and the state agreed that this was their allocated amount for the 70 acre feet. Then the co-op, which is Cactus Joe, is who had it. From Cactus Joe's and another guy,
Ronnie Blackman,
and Craig. I can't remember Craig's last name. And then there has been a bunch of other board members kind of in and out over the years, and it was typically the people that were getting the service off of the line. And Ronnie and Joe couldn't handle it, didn't want to do it anymore. And again, lifelong Las Vegas, not quite a burning desire, but I see a lot of value in that. I'm a bit of an anomaly that I'm a conservationist-minded developer that thinks you should be able to do what you want with your real estate in a responsible fashion for generations. So we saw the opportunity. We're not afraid of those kind of big problematic sort of deals. We've been here, as they've said, since forever. And so it just felt like a good fit for us. And there's potential, whether we have it wrong, you have it right. I don't know where it is, but there's the availability for usage of water off of that water right.
I just want to follow up. I'm Carmen Alfrey from the Queen Street District, by the way, for the record. I just want to, like, put in my concern also.
Sure.
I understand the waterline has a lot of problems, and you want to tackle that, and that's great.
I think the concern from my side is, like, you want to make money off the water, and I want to make sure that the water keeps our community beautiful first. And so, like, yeah, it's been a good year. There is a lot of runoff. The well's, like, going up. That's great. In 10 years, when the well is going down and there isn't any runoff and there's less water for you to sell, that's when I'm worried about our community.
So it's a very legitimate concern.
And so I don't really feel like people are attacking you, and at the same time, like, I feel like we're fundamentally opposed, in, or not opposed, but just, like, we have different wants for that water, and I just want to express my concern.
Legitimate concern.
David Cotter, 86 Arroyo, 2 Private, whatever you want to call the street. Thanks for coming out here.
Sure.
It's not easy to stand in front of a bunch of people that don't like you.
We get that.
And we don't like you, but that's fine. You seem like a nice guy, but I agree. Fundamentally opposed in terms of the use of that water.
Am I allowed to be fundamentally opposed to your use of the same water out of the same aquifer? Yeah,
absolutely.
I mean, yeah, let's be humans and agree to get along. Right.
Now, I'd like to better understand how your company came about purchasing it. Did you buy it directly from these people that own the co-op?
Yeah.
Where is the water district involved in all
water
this?
District has no involvement. And the water district only owns yours because used to be a private entity.
So this is a private acquisition, like a brother-in-law deal from Cactus Joe and all those guys?
Yep. Just a private acquisition, open market, free. You could have bought it.
Right. Also, there doesn't show any transfer. There's no transfer recorded with the state water engineer. There's no transfer recorded with the Clark County.
Again, we're still trying to figure out what we have and what structure we want to have and how we go
so
forward. So I can't run out and make a bunch of moves.
Right. You should really review this place of use before you make any moves, because it's a real deal
Been completed?
If you think we didn't do our homework, you're sadly mistaken, Paul. You know us.
So
I'm just saying.
Okay.
It's just,
so please don't insult my intelligence, and I won't insult yours.
So
point of diversion and place of
use
are entirely different.
I am telling you, I understand that.
So your insulting language, honestly, towards us. You came in here, and the first thing you said was that, you know, I'm not a politician, I'm not trying to hide the ball, and then obviously, you know, 3 conversations later, you're talking about an RV park. So if you're insulting
somebody,
it's
not 3 conversations, it's been
life.
Transparent since day one what we're looking at it for.
That's not what you said.
Okay.
So let's tone it all down.
Maybe you heard what
you
wanted.
You can tone it down as well, and I think it's good for all of us to kind of take it down a notch. But you're starting to insult everybody in here.
How is that?
Randy, I didn't say it was a point of diversion. I'm saying these are the place of use maps. I understand there's no point of
diversion. Where it was being used. Paul.
No, this is where it can be used.
There's no stipulation in state water that tells you where you can and cannot
use water.